The Anton Savage Show
with Kearies.ie
on News Talk.
It is to elections that we turn first, and I'm joined by Ivan Yates of this parish, broadcaster and, of course, former Fine Gael minister, and Kevin Doyle, group head of news for Media House Ireland, the parent company of The Independent, Sunday Independent, and a broad variety of other papers and podcasts. Kevin, let me kick off with you in relation to the campaign thus far. The trends and issues emerging as you see it have been what?
Well, I think the issues are quite clear. Immigration, for the first time ever, Anton, has become the topic of the election. People are talking about housing, they're talking about health, all the stuff that we always talk about. But we've never really had an election fought on what is your immigration policy before. And all the parties are making it up as they go along, which is fascinating to watch. All the parties have shifted from where they would have been 12 months ago to try and figure out what the electorate want in that space. More broadly, in terms of what's happening in terms of the polls, the trends, I think all the parties, the main parties at least, have reset their expectations as well from where they might have been in January. I think we all laughed when Simon Harris came in and started talking about new energy and this idea that you ain't seen nothing yet. Well, actually, Fine Gael have had a pretty positive, pretty buoyant campaign when you compare it with Sinn Féin, who we all assumed were going to absolutely run away with this election. The sheen has gone a little bit off them. Mary Lou hasn't been as visible as you might have expected. And for me, the real thing to watch next weekend will be that battle between Fine Gael and Sinn Féin for top spot, which I think if you go back not very long ago, we didn't think there was a battle at all because it was over.
And to what extent is that? Because I've heard an awful lot of analysts talking about Sinn Féin to some extent being wrong-footed by immigration, by virtue of the fact that some of their core vote is very pro and very liberal, the idea, some very anti.
Yeah, for me, it's the fact that for quite a long time, Sinn Féin has soaked up all the anger in the country. Everybody who was angry with the government, they turned away. It was this whole thing of FFG. And Sinn Féin had managed to band Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in together in one bulk. And if you were angry at them, Sinn Féin was the home for you. But what has kind of happened over the past 12 or 18 months is that some people have gotten angrier. And Sinn Féin, having gathered the angry vote, were moving more towards the middle classes. They were softening their policies. They were preparing to be an acceptable government that wouldn't scare off foreign direct investment and things like that. And in the process of that, the angry people went elsewhere. And that now has become kind of a scattergunner vote, if you like, across a whole load of independents and new parties, many of which we don't even know the name of, to be honest, at this stage. So I think that's what has happened to Sinn Féin. They have lost some of that angry vote. And in the meantime, some of the more middle vote has kind of looked back to Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, and kind of said, oh, the economy is thumping along quite nicely, isn't it? Yeah, we have problems, but do we really think that anyone else is going to fix the problems we've had for decades anyway?
To go to you, Ivan, that seems to be some of the consensus that's emerging, is that this election is going to be defined by a significant rise of the independents.
Yeah, every poll I look at, everyone I talk to out on the hustings, the only people with momentum really are independents. And let's be clear, in a local and European election, you're much more likely to vote for a personality, a candidate that is either local or that you like the cut of their jib. You're much more focused on government formation in a general election. So people who might be normally Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin might drift away and see it as less disloyal now. I would say myself, independents in the council election, so out of 950 councillors and 31 local authorities, there were 207 independents. Now, let's be clear, they are licorice all sorts. They're not a homogeneous group. I could see that going to 300, and therefore Fianna Fáil 270, they'd be doing well to keep the losses, within 60-70. Fine Gael, I'd put it like this, they're in 250. I think, again, they'd be doing well to get 200. Sinn Féin, I think, will go 80 up to 150. They did so badly in 19 that, on paper, they'll have a good election. I think the Greens are facing wipeout. I think they could lose both their MEPs. I've never seen politics so fragmented. I mean, like, the importance of these elections is that if you picture back to 2019, even 2020, we've come through the crash and there was successive years of growth and recovery. You know, we've had three sort of serious belts. The pandemic, you know, which was incredible in terms of lockdown. The impact on the cost of living from the Ukrainian crisis, particularly energy prices, and our nearest neighbour being in recession from Brexit, have all been negative. So if you look at the total EU economy, it has stagnated for 4 years. People aren't in a great mood. I think any party, the way I look at the local elections, any party that gets north of 20%, and I mean that Sinn Féin, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, it'll be a good outcome in my view. They mightn't like it on the day, but they look back and say that wasn't too bad considering the pressure from independents.
Go back to what you said about them being licorice all sorts. Why do you think is there no cohesive ideology to the independents who are currently being favoured?
Okay, so put it like this. If you want to vote independent in the South constituency, I think Michael McNamara will get elected and do very well. He calls himself a pure independent. So in Wexford and Waterford, he is sort of allied to Verona Murphy's Wexford Independent Alliance and Matty Shanahan's ponies in the race in Waterford. But then within the South, you have the Lowry operation. You have the Healy Ray operation. Then you have Independent Ireland with Eddie Punch. There is such a variety of independents. It is actually just not like, and some would be more emphasis on anti-migration. Some would be the most visible local opponent on their local radio or whatever against the government. So, as I say, the word I would use to sum up politics is that nobody really has the zeitgeist, because there's no guarantee that even with the independents that they're not totally fragmented. Like, you know, just say there was an independent elected in the general election in 41 constituencies. Will they form a group together? Will they form a group of 14 together? Will they be a player in the government the way Shane Ross put a group together? So first of all, the most interesting thing about this election is because we've had no election since the spring for 4 years, other than the Dublin Bay South by-election. So, like we found with the referendums, when you do ask the audience, they're in a completely different place than pollsters and the political bubble had them. You know what I mean? Nobody saw, you know, in some boxes, 8-1, no. Like that tells you they're in pretty bad humour. And so nothing would surprise me. And, you know, I've spoken to some really seasoned campaigners and I said, what's the reception on the doorsteps? And they say, it's very quiet. That's always a bad sign. Remember 2002 when Fine Gael was wiped out? Nobody said, to hell with you, we're not voting for you. They just said nothing. And it's always a bad sign. So And the other real significance of these elections is that I think 4 TDs or so will be elected means the by-elections will have to be held on the 8th of December. The general election will be held before that. So we're looking at a November election. This is like the first part of a two-part play. And that makes these elections more significant than they would normally be.
Kevin, I want to come to you in a second just on the issue of whether or not Euroscepticism is on the increase. Before that, you said about the quietness on the doorsteps, Ivan. A lot of the reports from people when they're asked about the doorsteps is that immigration isn't as big an issue as they had expected it to be. Is that candy coating the reality? Is that part of the quietness? I think that's true.
It is, yeah. No, because I've spoken to some Euro candidates and they're running around shopping centres and it would never be mentioned. When they go to the housing estates and slow it down and say, Mary, what's on your mind? After 3 or 4 minutes, they'll say, well, not terribly happy about the migrant situation. My son or daughter is trying to get a house, or they're struggling to put together money for a house. And these other people are walking into a house. They walk into a medical card. They get free travel. So there is, I would say, the other thing about migrants you need to know is this is not a middle-class issue. There isn't a problem about migrants in Rathgar or Fox Rock. The problem is go to Finglas, go to the working class areas, go to Killarney, go to the rural areas. There has not been an even distribution of 100,000 plus migrants, and therefore it varies from area to area.
Kevin, talk to me then about Euroscepticism, because one of the things I was intrigued by is, I don't want to get into mentioning too many candidates for fear of favour, but one candidate particularly running on Europe as an entity being important. And you would have thought, well, is that not assumed? Interesting that there's a view that that's necessary.
Yeah, but there's always, like, Ireland is one of the least Eurosceptic countries in the whole bloc, for better or worse. The polls always show well over 80% of people believe that we should be in the EU. And look, part of what happened with Brexit feeds into that. But there is always room. I don't know if I'd call them Eurosceptic, but there's always an anti-establishment seat almost in every constituency. So I think the three main parties, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, if any of them come away without three seats, that will be a disaster for them. That is the lowest expectation, certainly, that Fine Gael and Sinn Féin would have. Fianna Fáil would be happy to get back to three seats in Europe, I think. But after that, look in every constituency. Take Dublin as your example. I think Niall Boylan will take the final seat there, which has been the Clare Daly seat up to this. And that will be that kind of angry voice seat that sits there. If you go to the Midlands, I think in the place for the final seat, you have the likes of Ciara Mullooly, who I don't think you would call necessarily a Eurosceptic, but has been quite critical of a lot of things, particularly around just transition and things that actually can be controlled to some extent in the European Parliament. Pádraig Tobin in the mix there at the end. And then go south, Mick Wallace, obviously one of our greatest Eurosceptics. I think he has a better shot than Clare Daly of holding his seat, but I think he is in a battle, a real battle there. I agree with Ivan that Michael McNamara is in with a huge shout. Eddie Punch might surprise a few people. He's on the Independent Ireland ticket, so that's the same ticket as Niall Boylan and Ciara Mullooly. All the kind of polls I've seen haven't given him a huge showing, but I wouldn't be surprised. There's a big farmer vote in that constituency. He may well come true. And that would knock essentially Grace O'Sullivan out for the Green Party, who are probably going to have one of the hardest days of all the main parties.
Ivan, what about that prediction on Niall Boylan?
The way my sense of it is that I think Kevin is right. Each of the bigger parties, Sinn Féin, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, I don't think any of them are really in the hunt for a second seat in the three Euro constituencies. But put it like this, they should, between transfers and everything, get their lead candidate in. So in my view, in Midlands Northwest, their lead candidate's probably Maria Walsh. I think Barry Cowan is the lead candidate for Fine Gael. Fianna Fáil. The Sinn Féin one is actually very difficult there, because Christmas Manus, they divided the constituency, doesn't seem to be polling that well, but I think there is an advantage to the incumbency. In Dublin, I'll put it like this, I think Boylan, there's so many candidates to be eliminated. And the difficulty for both Regina Doherty and Barry Andrews is, you know, where are their transfers going to come from? So they really have to be getting 14%. Barry got 14% the last time and got the fourth seat. So I think we'll be counting right into the Wednesday with some of those. And to be honest with you, you know, in South, Kelleher and Kelly will definitely win. McMara, I think Funchin is by far the strongest Sinn Féin councillor. And I wouldn't rule out Eddie Punch, but put it like this. Between geography, you see, transfers are more likely. If you're in Donegal and you're voting for Blaney, for Fianna Fáil, you're more likely to transfer to Casey than maybe to Cowan, because transfers tend to go on geography more than party. So it is actually very difficult to predict the last seat in each constituency.
Well, particularly in Dublin, when, as you say, the sheer numbers, I mean, there's what, 26, 28 or 25 total eliminations before we'll know. That can go all over the map.
Yeah, and someone like Éan O'Riordan could actually be more transfer friendly than Niall Boylan. You just wouldn't know.
Finally then, Kevin, to go back to you just on one final piece of analysis, because Ivan, I want to ask you about this immigration issue that Taoiseach opened to third party deportations. Before that, Ivan's prediction, Kevin, that the Greens are facing wipeout. Do you agree?
Yeah, largely. Now, the Greens got in the local elections last time, it wasn't a huge percentage vote. I think they were around 5.5%, which got them 49 seats. But that was a huge jump for them. But the newspaper, I was looking back, Anton, the headlines in the newspaper the morning after the local and European elections last time was the new Green agenda. And it was basically that the Green Party had made its breakthrough. They had gotten over the whole economic crash episode. and that we were all going to be climate conscious for the next 5 years. Then they got into power, if you like, and they have been doing lots of climate things which have annoyed a lot of people, and they're about to suffer the backlash of that. I think Kieran Cuff, I really struggle to see him keeping the seat. I think Grace O'Sullivan is certainly gone, and so suddenly they could end up with no MEP and a huge significant loss on the council seats. I don't think they'll face total wipeout in the council, because as Ivan pointed out early in the conversation, personality matters a lot, and how active those councillors have been on the ground on local issues, not so much the big picture stuff, but have they been active on the local playground? Have they been active on the parking problem? Stuff like that will certainly save some of them, as it can for any local election candidate. But I think in the round, Eamon Ryan will be facing questions afterwards, and he might be glad that Catherine Martin has been caught up in all that RTE scandal for the last year, because otherwise they might be trying to do a Fine Gael trick.
Kevin, thanks very much. Kevin's going to be back with us next weekend to help analyse the results as they come in. Ivan, just to go to you on that story that Kitty Holland and Conor Pope have in the Irish Times, that Simon Harris says that he's open to a migration reform that would involve asylum seekers being processed in third countries. Does that mean that Taoiseach is saying we get our own Rwanda?
Yeah, the pact actually allows for that. It's called externalisation. And they actually put forward countries like Algeria and Egypt, whereby EU would do a deal and basically subcontract out countries to take large numbers that can't be deported back to the country of origin, but to deport them somewhere. And put it like this, I think, like, you pays your money and takes your chance regards which country you regard as a reasonable country to do that with. A lot of people would regard Rwanda not as a reasonable country. But, like, I've no doubt, like, when you look at you know, 700,000 people from North Africa looking to get into Italy and so on, the numbers of this are just going to increase.
Ivan, thank you.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kieries.ie
on News Talk.